Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before. No video.
Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
See, long time no see. Anne-Marie should be joining us any second now.
Yep. No problem. We're not going anywhere.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Very well. Very well. Thank you. Anne-Marie, Kenny, Anne-Marie.
Hi, Kenny. How are you?
Good. How are you?
This is kind of cool. This is kind of cool. Yeah. You're crossing from one world into another for me. This, I like this.
Yeah, good. So where are you, Emery?
I'm in Ireland. I'm in Limerick in Ireland.
In Ireland. You're a ways away. What time are you there? You're 8 hours ahead of me. I think you're only 5 hours ahead of Phil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't a clue. I know it's 8 o'clock here, 8 p.m.
Yeah, it's 3 for me and noon for you.
I'm noon, yeah.
I only know this because I was on the phone with Anne-Marie figuring out a time and I had to get the time zone calculator out. Otherwise, I was going to screw
Yeah,
up.
I thought I was for sure they're 8 hours because London's 8 hours. It's Italy that goes to 9.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a difference. Yeah, we're the same as London.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Man, I'm excited. I think this will be fun. I thought this would be a really good episode because I think there'd be some really interesting things in here. So for listeners, we've got Anne-Marie Brosnan on. Anne-Marie and I have worked together for, I don't know, a while now, almost a year, I guess. And Anne-Marie runs Premier Tuition in Ireland, as you can probably guess by her voice as well and her accent. We thought we'd bring her on, one, because she just runs a cool business and Anne-Marie is super cool. And then two is because it's a schooling center that has really gone through some pretty radical changes, right? Because we were in the middle of drawing traffic through digital means, but then COVID hit. Kind of changed everything up there for Anne-Marie and the school. School opened back up a little bit and now it's now we're back down again. So and Kenny and I have spent a lot of time talking about pandemic and how it's, you know, kind of messed up a ton of businesses and asked people to reformat. So welcome to the show. I wonder if you want to tell the audience a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, thanks a million, Phil. So as Phil said, my name is Anne-Marie Brosnan and I run Premier Tuition Centre, which is a tuition centre that provides what we call grinds. So in other words, extra tuition to primary and secondary school students. This would be kind of unusual in Ireland in that we provide tuition to primary school students. Most of the tuition services in Ireland at the moment are available to secondary school students. I have been running the business since November 2016, so I think what's that now, 4 years. And like Phil said, we were getting to a really good place up until January 2020, and then suddenly COVID hit and we had to rethink our entire strategy and our business model. And but finally we're kind of getting used to the new system now, and it kind of pushed us into doing things that we probably should have been doing all along in terms of going online and things like that. So in one way, there's definitely a positive that can be taken from it.
So what exactly do you, what exactly is the, what is this tuition? What exactly do you do?
So
just to understand it, like from basic.
Yeah, so in Ireland, for secondary school students or for high school students, we have one big final exam before they go into college, and we call that the Leaving Cert exam. And it's it basically determines.
Do we lose her?
I think so, just for a second.
This bloody internet, eh?
I know.
Oh, we lost her. Oh, there she is.
Oh, there
we
lost her.
So we got to high school Yeah. And that was it.
Leading cert and then.
Leaving. Okay.
Yeah.
So, so that's the Leaving Cert exam. And it basically determines if you're going to get into college or not. It's a point system. So you need a certain, you need to get, you can get a maximum of 625 points in the entire exam. And each college course is worth a certain number of points. So it's very, very competitive and very, very intense. And for a very long time, students have been getting extra tuition to help them do well in that particular exam. We call them grinds here in Ireland. So grind schools will be very, very common. Sometimes it's become a little bit more competitive and students will start coming when they're in fourth and fifth year, you know, in the 2 years before the Leaving Cert exam. And so we provide tuition or grinds to all of those students in every single subject. Typically, Leaving Cert students take 7 subjects for the Leaving Cert exam. Irish, English and maths would be the core subjects, and then they can pick from a choice of things like visual art, economics, business studies, geography, history, sciences. Things like that.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, the sciences, yeah, and languages. And then we also, on top of doing all of that, we provide tuition to primary school students in Irish, English and maths. Those would be the main core subjects that we'd help them out there with.
Mm-hmm. So in order to get into college, they have to write this exam with the core competency ones plus a couple electives if they want, or at minimum 7.
So in a lot of ways, like, so here in North America, right, generically what happens is you take kind of 6 core courses and then you apply to university. There you do the same thing, except you've got to write these certs as well. Right. And then your cert scores determine, how well your applications are accepted to university. Is that
right? But here,
how it works?
Here, we don't have to do that though. Yeah. Here, we basically needed English 12, math 12.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, if you're going to be going into sciences, you needed some of the sciences.
Well, you need 6, right? So you got to figure out what 6 you want.
Right.
So English and math are generally the 2. And then
you have to, because they're a basis for everything. If you don't have them, you can't take anything.
Yeah. If you're an arts kid, you do history, you know, like whatever, right?
Right.
But we don't do, there's no certification exam here, right? Your marks are your marks. You fill in an application form and then the university figures out where you fall. Right. But for them, they've got to do this cert.
That's interesting because for us, I mean, if you got a D or like a C in grade 12, you probably weren't going to college.
Yeah.
Because the minimum requirements now might be a B. Yeah. Like to get into business school, for example, out of high school right now, you probably need in Toronto and in Vancouver for sure. I would assume in the 94th, 95th percentile. Your application is not going to get looked at. So if you come out of high school with a 90, you're not getting into business school.
This
is not going to happen.
But there you've got the extra, now you've got the cert that you've got to take as well, right? And those scores.
That's interesting.
They take grades into consideration too, or is it just the cert course or the cert exam?
So basically those subjects contribute towards whatever grades you get in those 6 subjects. You have to do you have to do a minimum of 6 subjects.
Right.
Generally, students do 7, and the grades for the best 6 get taken into consideration.
Okay.
So let's say like an A1 is worth 100 points, a B an A2 is worth 90 points or whatever. You add up all of the scores from the top 6 subjects that you got, and that will give your entire number of points. So let's say for something like primary school teaching, it might, you know, you might need to get something like 475, you know, 480 points. But you'll also, like you said, you'll also need to have like a minimum requirement in Irish, in the Irish language, for example, because you have to teach Irish to primary school pupils. So for some subjects, there would be a minimum requirement.
Right.
You need a C3 with what was formerly a C3.
Yeah.
The grade system has changed a little bit to get into primary school teaching.
It's different, eh? It's like
And so I think where it gets really interesting, like along that journey, right, is when I met you, you were running this school, and then there was some you were doing some social media, right? But a lot of your business was coming word of mouth, right? And then we were working together for maybe can't even remember now. I feel like I've known you such a long time, right? But I think like 3 or 4 months, and then we hit COVID, and all of a sudden word of mouth just went away because you couldn't, you know, nobody wanted to see your mouth, right? So it like, it really wasn't.
You were doing this obviously pre-COVID. So it's just, it's sort of, it's Phil, for lack of a better, is it like a Kumon kind of idea?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like,
yeah.
It's extra tutoring to make sure that you can function. Yeah. So prior to COVID, I'm a parent, because I'm assuming it's going to come from parents pushing their kids. That's just what we do. Yeah. So we push our kids, go write the exam. You know what? You're going to need some extra help. Hey, Anne-Marie's got a school. It's going to cost me X amount to get you a little bit smarter so you can pass these exams nicely.
Yeah.
They attend after school. They sit down in front of you or whoever your teachers are in a big classroom, like going from classroom to classroom. COVID hits. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to talk to each other, look at each other, breathe. So what do you do? Like what happens to your world? Because like as a parent, I still want my kids tutored, but like where are they going?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was like March 12th or March 13th, all of the schools shut down. And
12th, that's when I've been home since. Same as here, 12th. I retired March 12th, that was it. Who's
never left the house.
I have not left the house since March 12th. That's it. Literally. I've barely been outside.
A lot of people are probably in the same boat, absolutely. So yeah, March 12th was when everything shut down here as well. And all of the schools shut down, and there wasn't really like a statewide response to what the schools were going to do. It was really on an individual school by school basis. So for example, I think the secondary schools were great. They moved to online teaching very, very quickly. Primary schools were less quick to do it, but also there's you know, an age gap. It's much more difficult to keep, you know, 4, 5, 6 year olds engaged online than it is, you know, 17, 18 year olds. We shut down as well, but we moved very quickly to online learning, because even before COVID happened, Phil and I were talking about developing a couple of online courses. So we had looked at the technology I'd need and all of that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was something that we were planning on implementing anyway. Like I said earlier, COVID just sort of gave us the push to do it. So I think within about a week's time, we were advertising online courses, being able to, not actually online courses, online classes,
right,
being able to deliver live online classes to our students. We gave everyone the option of holding their spaces until we reopened, or recommencing with us, continuing with us via Zoom or whatever.
Right.
Video conferencing was, yeah.
And I'm assuming for the first couple of weeks, it probably would have been similar to here. I mean, none of us knew how long this was going to last. I mean, we were, you know, it's March 12th. Okay. Well, you know, we'll be back April 1, April 10. Yeah. I mean, yeah. End of April, like, okay, for end of April, like 100% we're going to be back. And it's now November 18th or 19th. Our province is shutting down again. Just we're getting an announcement in a couple hours.
Yeah.
But I think we're going back down into a quasi lockdown. Europe looks like it's a shit show. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened in Europe. You guys got lackadaisical like I think we did. The States has been a gong show from day one, so forget them. Like, that's a disaster unto its own. But that must have been it, because you're phony, Phil. You're trying to get online, but you don't even know how long, like how much money, how much time are you going to spend on something that in theory is supposed to be around for 2 or 3 weeks, because this was going to go away, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we're actually really lucky. We didn't have to spend too much money, because all you really need to kind of invest in is maybe getting a subscription or a license to something like Zoom or Join Me, and got a couple of microphones and a couple of writing tablets. So it wasn't really a massive investment, and it was something that we wanted to do anyway going forward, because when you're offering face-to-face classes in the tuition center, you obviously have a very limited market, whereas when you're online, you can reach the whole country. So it wasn't too much of an investment. We were also very lucky, like there was a lot of different funding available from different enterprise offices,
right,
around the country. So they made that available to small businesses who wanted to, for example, get online. So there was a lot of funding available as well, which was fantastic, and which we made use of as well, you know.
How about help for the kids though? Like, so, I mean, we probably live in a different world, the three of us, but you know, there's no shortage of iPads in this house or laptops or, smartphones. I mean, that's great, but I'm assuming some of these kids come from homes where the online thing was already a stretch financially, not on the in-person. And then when you go online, I have to have decent internet, which I know I get most first world, whatever we're called these days, developed world have, but you know, you're making a lot of assumptions that, do I have the tools? Like,
Yeah, we saw that even, like, I'm a lecturer in a third level university, and initially we kind of took it for granted that a lot of our third level students would have, you know, good internet access when they go home or would have a device, but we found out pretty quickly that you can't really make those assumptions, and there are always going to be people who, especially in Ireland, there's a lot of rural areas that don't have good internet access, and that was definitely a problem for people, so... I do think that we will see some sort of educational gap, because there was such a long period of time that the schools were not in operation, that they were delivering classes online, that people didn't have the ability or the means to do it from home, or there could be other family circumstances. They might live in a very small house with a lot of members in their family. They might not have the space to be able to go somewhere and log on to an online class, and they might not have the motivation to do it. They might not have the parental support. So there's massive issues, so, and I don't issues. There wasn't there's really much assistance available to those people, really.
I know
it's a lot to absorb.
A fascinating. My son tutors, so my son was tutoring because he's smarter than we don't know where he comes from. The daughter's super smart too. We don't know where she came from either. But yeah, this one's ridiculous. I don't know who he is. Definitely not mine. My wife's for sure. Definitely. I don't know where anything. But he went from similar worlds. He's tutoring one to one. They meet at the coffee bar or whatever. COVID hits, he starts doing online. And I think he was finding the same sort of challenges. Like, you got to make sure the other person has all these capabilities, et cetera. Yeah. And he had to change, I guess, I don't know what he does. I guess change, because I'm assuming you had to change how you teach.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
How do you, I'm assuming it's different to teach online than it is physically there. And again, like, you don't have, like, I'm trying to get the timeline. You don't have a lot of time. You're changing a business. I get it's still tutoring, but it's a fundamental flip.
It's I mean,
it's big.
You think about like, so when it happened, you know, just wrapping your head around, right? Like we were doing certain things on Facebook. We were advertising certain things. I think we had just started Google Ads at that point. Right. And so there were moments where, you know, the two of us, like we're writing Google Ads, and I was like, what do I say now? Right. Do I say, come on in? Like, I don't think we can say that anymore.
I don't know. What do you say? Like, because before it was word of mouth and you could come on in.
Yeah. And then logistically, right. Like, there were lots of pauses because even the way you segment classrooms, right. Like, Emory has all these classes where they're kind of like 5 to 10 or 5 to 12 kids in a class, you know, but we were talking, I think there was one really good, like, we were talking about this one course, and it was like for, you know, kind of like 12 to 15 year olds, this probably makes sense. But we had to, we figured we should stop asking if kids below 10, right? Because Anne-Marie was like, how do we manage 10 year olds that don't want to pay attention, right? Like, you know, if I've got a class full of 9 year olds that are running around, like, what? Like, you can't yell at them over a screen, and you can't.
Well, it's hard enough to control them when you're there.
Yeah.
And now you put them in a screen. I mean, they're all over the freaking place.
But it was kind of cool because we could, like, all the unknown factors were still able to shift up fairly quickly because it's digital, right? Like, it's not print. Yeah. You don't need to, you know.
But you're going from you know, November, December, kids are in school, Billy comes home, says, hey, Johnny's in a course and he's getting better help. And mom says, oh my God, we want to get you into university or college. So, you know, mom's phone moms or dad's phone dads. Yeah. But you know, you lose that physical contact. So how did you guys figure out, like, I get you can use digital mediums, but still it's interesting. Tutoring to me has always been word of mouth, always.
Yeah.
That's what tutoring, except Kumon and those guys, they spend billions of dollars. But for the most part, if you are a smaller enterprise, it's word of mouth, 100%. Mm-hmm. So how do you flip it from that to, you're pushing a button. I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Who do I reference? How do I know you're any good?
It's definitely not easy. The one thing that we did was that we stayed in contact with all of our, families and our parents.
Smart.
People who had enrolled previously. So we made sure to keep in contact with them and to give them updates about what was going on and what we were planning. And I think that definitely helped us. We maintained our social media presence even when we weren't doing anything, even before we were able to move online. And I think that made a difference as well. And I guess in terms of attracting new clients, you just have to be as authentic as you possibly can. You just have to be really personal as you possibly can. So I'd make sure that I'm always interacting with new customers or new potential clients from around the country, so that they know who I am, that I'm there at the other end of the phone or the email or the Facebook message or whatever it is. And it gives them a little bit more security, because that is definitely probably one of the biggest challenges about trying to sign up for something that's going to be purely digital, having never heard about this business or company or organization before, and knowing absolutely nothing about them, and not even knowing if it's a real thing, that it's a real business with real people, so that is a challenge. So I think just being present and being there and being approachable as much as possible kind of helped us along the way. And I think I would make sure that I would be that person in that role, and that I think helped us.
So how are you finding it though? Because I guess.
Can I just add something before you ask that question? Yeah. Is one of the things that is characteristic Emery, she's totally nonchalant about hey, I'm out there and I'm doing, but she's super creative about the way she did it too.
Well, that's what I was going to ask anyway. So continue.
Her social media feed is, it's 100% authentic. There's nothing gimmicky in it. And that's just the way Emery is. And I think the other thing that's really cool is she just found ways to make sure that she's in her social feed. So there are videos of her, explaining things, covering. I think you've got this one really cool one, on some books that you should be reading. She talks about that are would be directed at us, right? Things like, is your kid low on self-esteem? They're not confident about what they do. She actually brings resources right to the social media feed. So you feel like you've already talked to her before you even go. It's really cool.
But that's where I was going to go, Phil. It's different when I can go into the school because you told me that you and Kathy had the kids in the school and you're really happy.
Yeah.
So I run down the school, say, hey, Emery, listen, I'm a friend of Phil, blah, blah, blah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Once you lose that physical contact, I'm assuming that video is going to be critical, because I can talk to you on the phone, but I don't know who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Right. Probably because I'm older. I like face to face. I mean, this isn't as good as being able to say hi to you, shake your hand, give you a hug when you leave, all that. But at least I can see you. I can see your smile. I get a feel for what I think I'm getting myself into.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand how you do that. I do like the fact. So you're offering, even on your online feeds, you're not giving me the answers, but you're giving me some resources. So if I'm not sure yet, I can give the kids, maybe I can look for some signs of the self-esteem, or I can maybe read a few books on my own. And if I use you, I use you. If I don't, I'm going to thank you quietly, maybe saying, well, thanks for helping at least.
Yeah, exactly. That was the intention. And again,
smart.
I only really started doing that because of COVID, because we were forced, to go online. And I realized that I did need to have to make sure that I had more of a personal online presence rather than just promoting the different classes and things like that we had. I would have been quite camera shy prior to that, fairly reluctant about even putting my own image up on our social media. But I think it definitely did give a lot of people a little bit of reassurance about who we are and what our brand was and what our message was and what our intention was.
I think it's critical. I think people need to see.
Yeah.
I it's, You know, you could still be a bandit, but at least I can see you. Yeah. It changes the perception, right? You can at least get a feel for the person, right? Mm-hmm. So COVID for you has been, I mean, outside of COVID, has been a disaster, and it's you're one of those businesses that we sort of talked about even the other day, Phil, where you're one of those businesses where COVID has not been the last nail in the coffin. If anything, it's opened up a few doors and windows for you to expand and grow.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're growing. It sounds like your reach has gotten to be, well, you're countrywide. All of a sudden.
Yeah, we're lucky in that respect. Yeah. Sorry, Phil.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's cool to watch the school grow, and then it's cool because I think the formats are there, like for you to be able to expand digitally. When the doors really open again, you know, you're already there, right? Digitally.
Right.
And, you know, I think actually it's funny because the reason we started talking about online before COVID, right, was because she has physical space where she was using for students, but we were trying to figure out how to be more efficient with her teacher time as well as, you know, that real estate time. And one of those things was, you know, could we host some courses online where we could remove physical space as a cost option.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
So Emery, are you also then, because I'm assuming schools are struggling too, never mind the tutoring, like schools in general. I know here they're struggling. I mean, there was a lot of people that were getting used to, a lot of teachers didn't know how to use the internet properly or didn't know how to use mediums to communicate. So there's a lot of teachers who have really struggled during COVID at the beginning to get used to how do I teach on a computer versus in a classroom, et cetera. Are you working with any school? I don't know if there's school boards in Ireland like there are in Canada or anything like that. My son's at the door with somebody. It's loud as loud.
Okay.
But do you do anything like that? Work with any of the school boards or schools to try to change the way this is going to look, I guess, going forward?
Funnily enough, we were invited. We have one parent. So as soon as COVID started and we started advertising our classes online, a woman signed up with us, and she's from, you know, a different county up the country. And she's been with us since the summer. And her child has been with us for, you know, I think like 3 classes a week ever since the summer. And she loved how we were facilitating the online classes and was at the same time disappointed how her daughter's school was facilitating online classes. Actually, I don't even think they were doing any online classes. And she herself, she would be fairly techie. I don't even know what her background is, but they'd be involved in, you know, computers, computer science. I think she's a computer scientist, actually. So she did ask me if I would consider speaking to the principal of her daughter's primary school, and maybe kind of do a little bit of CPD or something about how they can get online. So I told her that was fine, that we'd be more than happy to do it, but I didn't hear anything after that. I do know from friends who are principals that a lot of staff members were reluctant to go online. And I think it was a generational thing. So I'd have a lot of friends. My sister is a teacher over in the UAE. I've got a lot of young teachers in the tuition centre. And they were all more than willing to go online because I suppose they're from that generation where they're used to going online. But then the feedback that I got from other principals was that the older teachers were really reluctant to do anything about going online. So you do have that generational gap. And then unfortunately in schools, it's the older teachers that have the most sway, you know, because they've been there the longest. So if there's a vote and there's more older teachers than younger teachers, then the younger guys are going to get outvoted, really. And that's what happened in a lot of cases. And I've heard that from my own friends and teacher friends.
I think that's pretty prevalent here too. I have a lot of our friends are teachers, and they're obviously my age. So I'm mid 50s, right? Mm-hmm. So definitively the online, we're all adapting, we can use things, but they've been teaching physically teaching for 25, 30, 35 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To go within a matter of March 12th to March 14th.
Yeah.
To go to on now that. Saying you got to, and they're thinking, well, what the hell, how do I get lesson? Like, how do I move a lesson plan over? Yeah, right. Yeah. So for you, I guess I'm looking even at the further opportunities is because you're already adapt at it and you're already doing it. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the chance to tie into maybe, with some of the school, I mean, the public schools might be tougher. I don't know if Ireland has private and public schools like we sort of do here. So private schools are the parents pay for the kids to go. And then there's obviously public schools, which are more widely used than I'm assuming private, but you might have some sway.
I think there's...
Yeah, we're predominantly public. Sorry, Phil.
No, please. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying we're predominantly public. There's very few private schools in Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah. I get excited because I think there's some really interesting possibilities now.
Oh my God.
I was telling Anne-Marie on our last call that so my brother-in-law who lives in Mexico City, his daughter is attending daycare. He's going to kick my ass when he hears this because I don't know.
Honestly, you don't know.
I think she's she's really young and
that's pathetic, really.
She's attending daycare here in Toronto virtually because the infrastructure isn't quite right and they would like her to be able to speak English fluently, so rather than attend a virtual school down there, they just opted to attend one up here. So it got me thinking, like, oh my, like all the other borders are off. There's no reason why we couldn't help people out in another region to help them learn, you know, fill in their curriculum.
I think that's why I find this fascinating.
Right.
From the perspective where you were, and you're right. You had no choice. You had to get online this sooner or later.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, COVID's been a blessing because it pushed everybody to do things very differently.
Yeah.
A lot of tragedy in the same time, but there's a lot of positives that come out of this. But from your perspective, now you look at it, you went from being a very localized, probably within a small region, I mean, because it's proximity, to basically any Irish kid who's going to want to go to post-secondary and needs to write these exams and needs tutoring. Well, again, as long as they've got the funds, the internet means, a device of some kind. Well, shit, now that kid out in the country has a chance. Now, are your courses, are they all live? Or can I, let's say I'm a kid on the farm and I have to work on the farm from 5 a.m. till 5 p.m. Can I take a night course or is there a recorded option or availability?
Yeah.
Or something?
So most of the classes that we do at the moment are live, but we do actually record them as well. So the students can watch back over them and use them if they want to revise, or if they've missed a class, then they can watch back over it. But we have developed two pre-recorded courses. So they're like full courses that are available on the website and you can watch them, you know, whenever you want. One is a Spanish for Kids course and the other is an essay writing course for people who are going to be sitting the English exam. Because I think it's like 90% essays that's involved in that particular exam. Those are the two courses that we have at the moment and hopefully develop more in the future. I think there's more of a market for the live and interactive courses right now because they want to be able to have that interaction with the teacher and ask the questions.
For sure.
Having the recordings then is sort of like an added bonus that if they do miss it, they can catch up.
Well, I think that's the beauty of this in a lot of ways is in the old days, 8 months ago, you know, you missed the course, you missed the course. If you were in the course and you weren't paying attention, you missed the course. At least now you can sit and think, okay, you know, smile a lot, pretend you know, and have no freaking clue and go watch it 12 times to try to understand what you might have missed. See, I got my son in the kitchen right now, so I'm going to get him to listen to this podcast and records to see if he can expand his tutoring role, or you're going to have a Canadian division coming out of Vancouver.
Sounds good.
Fascinating.
You just went multinational.
See, look at that. You're in all countries now. You're time zones.
We'll have a school running right out of Kenny's living room there.
Well, you can't because my mom dropped off some food. That's why the door was so loud.
Did your mom bring some biscotti?
Dan, was that Nonna?
Yeah.
What did she bring? Loaf?
Banana,
yeah. Banana loaf.
Oh, nice.
See, 55 years old and still a baby. Thank God.
Listen, Emery.
Not she should be out of the house either. She should have been at home, not running around COVID.
Put up your hand fast as you can. She makes wicked biscotti.
I got to get you some biscotti before Christmas. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, really. Good. Like, Kenny's far from me, right? He's like a five-hour air flight, three-day drive.
Oh, we're 2,500 miles apart.
Yeah.
But he mailed me some of her biscotti. It was like, oh, my God. It was fantastic.
Nona's on it, baby. Nona's on banana bread, apparently, too, which is great. That's going to be my afternoon snack.
Emery, thank you for doing this. This was
Emery. That's awesome. I think it's such a cool thing, and I'm pretty. I mean, outside of the fact you had no choice if you were going to stay in this business, you had a choice. You didn't have to do it, and I think you took it by the horns and went with it, man. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it definitely wasn't easy because I actually had a baby in April. So
of course you did. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, and she moved houses too. So she
I would just assume houses, that new baby, new house. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah, she teaches full time on the side. You know why? Like, you know.
Yeah. In university.
Baby boy, so baby girl.
Sorry.
Oh, forget about school now. The baby, baby boy, baby girl.
Oh, baby boy, baby boy.
Wow. Yeah. So 6 months now? Seven months? Where are we at?
7 months. Yeah.
Wow.
His name is also Daniel, right?
Daniel, yeah. Daniel.
That's mine. Mine's a Daniel, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mine's a little older than 7 months, though. Yeah. Although the way he's struggling to open up a rice bag is starting to make me wonder. Here, scissors, Chooch. Scissors. Here.
Yeah.
Just so you know. See, so you know, from 7 months to 24 years, it's about the same.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I have a husband.
Same. You got two. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You know
what?
Maybe on the next one, we'd be blessed with a girl and she'll be 50 miles ahead of the boy anyway. The boys in the house.
I know.
Are you kidding me? Oh my God. The two women in the house are completely different than the two men.
Yeah, the girls are.
Oh my God.
I'm outnumbered in the house. I got three ladies in the house, right? Like my wife and two girls.
Yeah.
They're smarter.
Like, oh my God. Like late in day.
Boys. Like it's just.
Yeah. Totally different. Totally different.
You have to say that anyway, whether they are or aren't. Sorry, what did you say, Ken?
That's awesome. I'm impressed. You've done a lot of stuff in a COVID year.
I know. I was really looking forward to taking my maternity leave, and I had, you know, someone lined up to do all of the office hours and do all of the admin and things like that. But so it was a really, really, really busy maternity leave. But yeah, it was good too.
And you were in your last month when this all started then. When was the baby born?
April.
April.
Yeah, April 13th.
No, it's just I'm 16. But that's a month after this chaos starts.
Yeah.
And that last month, there's other things going on in your mind. I'm definitively not worried about a stupid online world.
Look at how calm she looks. She looks like this all the time.
Like, seriously.
Just like, it's okay. It's fine. I'm like, what? Like, she's got all these things going on. She's just always
That's a lot of shit, man. That's a lot of stuff going on.
So chill. Good from a you. Guy who's pretty chill. Pretty chill. Like, it's like, she's so.
Yeah.
But I do love it. You know, like, I do love the tuition center, and I love our students, and I love the challenge of going online, and I love the, you know, thinking of new content and ways to present the new content. So in a lot of ways, like, it is really a labor of love, you know,
For sure.
And I do love my day job as well. Like, so, the hours are a little bit unsociable right now, but you know, like I said earlier, when I started working with Phil, we had kind of gotten to a place where I was able to take a little bit of a step back and, you know, kind of like enjoy the business a little bit more rather than like work 24/7 in the business. And then COVID hit and I kind of had to go back working 24/7. But now hopefully we're kind of coming out of that side a little bit and I'll be able to step back and enjoy it. So it's just, you know, you just have to kind of go with the flow. And if I didn't love it, it would be much harder.
Yeah, you're discounting massively. You went into COVID with a business that wasn't ready. You decided to have a baby a month after, and then decided to move. And that's pretty rock star. Yeah, you can downplay it as much as you want. For most people, that would have shut the world down. COVID was enough to shut most of us down. Never mind adding a baby and a move into it. Seriously, right, Phil? Whatever.
Now the rest of us were trying to figure out how to get groceries, and you're like, I'll move.
I was trying to figure out how to buy online.
I
haven't done the buy online pickup in store.
Yeah.
Buy online, I figured out. I'm really good at that. That's awesome.
Thank you for coming on. Where, if people want to find you, what's the best way to find you?
So we got a new website. Same address, www.premiersolution.ie.
See that? She built a website too, you know?
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
Had one done.
Yeah, 10 minutes in a day. You must do something, right?
Yeah, we got our new website during COVID, which was great. So so that's there. And we're also fairly active on social media. So I think it's Premier Tuition Centre on our Instagram. And then it's premiertuition.ie on our Facebook page. So you'll find us there as well. So that's probably the best way to catch us.
And premierintuition.franchiseopportunities is for the Canadian, Mexican, for the rest of the world who wants to participate.
Yes, it is.
That's your international branch. Yeah. No, we'll do the international branch.
There's a PayPal link there too. So just drop your deposit in there right away.
All good in the hood. No worries. You fear, you trust her. No problem. As long as Phil and I are responsible for the PayPal, you're all good in the hood.
We'll put all the details in the show notes as usual. But
yeah.
Anne-Marie, thank you for coming on.
Cool business, my dear. That's pretty cool. Good for you. And congratulations on the baby and the move and a nice little business that you've morphed into even a better business. Good for you.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Well, thank you so much for having me. And it was great meeting you, Kenny. And
you as well.
I know I'm going to be talking to Phil again tomorrow anyway. So, but thank you so much for inviting me on. It was great. And the perfect time. I mean, 8 o'clock is just the perfect time. All the kids are in bed, so at least I don't have anyone screaming. I think he did actually start crying a minute ago, but my husband went up.
That's what the husband's for. Let him go.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks Anne-Marie. Guys.
Thanks.
See you soon.
We'll chat later. Bye. You going to stay on, Phil, for a sec?
Yeah. Cool, very right? Cool.
Very cool. You know what? It's... Yeah. You think, but I'll tell you why I'm fascinated, because I know people are like, oh, you teach online. I've got a lot of teacher friends, and holy shit, it was like the world shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
That they had to start going online, and it's funny because Amelia and I were talking, and it's probably not fair because we're not teachers, so I don't know the ins and outs of it. But we were both laughing, thinking, like, you would think it'd be so much easier to teach online. It's you got Zoom, you can load up spreadsheets, you just go through.
Yeah.
It's great for the kids. They can record it, or you can record it, post it later. So if they miss something, I mean, I would have thought that, like, as a teacher, I'd be thinking this is the best of all worlds. But most didn't embrace it that way.
Yeah.
Where she did.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised by that too. Like, having taught at the local colleges too, the colleges have their technology down pat. Like, those guys, they literally flipped a switch and went online, and that was it.
Yeah. Right. Well, the universities did, like, bang.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And so it surprises me a little. They're part of the same system, but not, you know, like,
it's not the same. You know, that's what it showed us. If anything,
infrastructure, they don't have the
not
same.
Not even close.
Anything, right? So
nothing.
They don't share that stuff, which is really surprising.
What do you pay for though?
Yeah.
You pay differently for the other. Think about it. We pay taxes for both.
Yeah.
But then we pay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still paying the same risk for him to go to SFU. He hasn't seen the campus in 8 months.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the same. Ryan's never been to Ottawa U.
Yeah. So what am I paying for? I'm paying for buildings that I'm not using. We should be getting a break.
Yeah. We pay the same.
We're using our internet.
Yeah. I know.
Our computers.
Yeah.
Okay. Seriously? I should get a rebate.
Yeah. I know. It's funny. But yeah, so
anyway I like her business. I need to get Daniel to listen to this podcast when it gets posted, because from his side, even it's a cool business, because your whole tutoring game changes. And I didn't realize their education system, I mean everybody's country's different, obviously.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
I didn't realize that they had it
had
it sort of that way.
Yeah.
I guess tutoring, I mean, when we were going to school, tutoring wasn't a big thing. Actually, I tell you, I didn't know anybody who got tutored. Maybe you did. I don't think we had anybody.
No.
Like tutoring would have like a friend helping a friend. Like when
Yeah. It was kind of like the kid down the street who seemed responsible and you'd show up and kind of ask a couple of math questions if you could. And that was it, right? Like we didn't really have tutors necessarily.
We did. And then when we had the kids, I know there was other friends of ours who had kids a little older and that Kumon and there was other things, but.
Yeah. Spirit of Math and like all these other things now. But
anyway, interesting.
Yeah.
That's a, wow, what a busy year for her. Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if she did it.
You know, I thought, in the spirit of like getting people who are really affected by, you know, like traffic through her doors is critical to her, right? Like
word of mouth would have been her entire world.
Yeah.
It would had to been. What else would, like, I know Daniel gets contacts from what? A friend? A mother who liked the way he maybe treated the son or daughter, and that's how it happens. It's completely word of mouth. And again, everybody makes it's going to sound, well, you just go digital. Yeah, okay. We've had those podcasts too that just bullshit, just go digital.
But it's not. It's a lot of work. Like
it's a lot of work.
Her Facebook and Instagram stuff is some like serious. She's put a lot of thought into it, a lot of content. And then that allowed us to be able to jumpstart like her Google ads and things like that. But without, you know, like proper digital marketing. So she never would have been able to do that. Right. So, anyway,
We should do that for CPG. We're going to do a CPG course, get people to pay to come and listen to what we could do for free.
All right. That's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.